You're listening to Earth Chats.
Hey everybody, welcome to Earth Chats, where we bring you the scoop on environmental topics that you can do something about today. This podcast is brought to you from Scarce, an environmental nonprofit located in Illinois just outside of Chicago. We've been in the business of environmental advocacy, education, and action for about 30 years now, and we've been itching to talk to you about all the things we care about. All right, let's get chatting. Alrighty, we are back with episode 5 of Earth Chats. We spent the last couple weeks talking about gardens, and we're switching gears today to plastics.
Plastics,
one of our favorite topics to talk about at work. We're pretty focused on single-use plastics and a bunch of the different problems that they're creating.
Oh, regarding that, yes, there's so much in the paper and magazines about plastics today, all the media. Just, I think it was 2 days ago, I read an article where the Southeast Asian countries are not accepting our plastic refuse. And, you know, until recently, I didn't realize that Asian countries, China in particular, but also Southeast Asia, was taking our plastic for us. What is up with all this plastic?
So there are a lot of kinds of plastic, aren't there? And there's the recyclable plastic, like pop bottles. Those things, if they get in the right place, those can be recycled. But we're talking really about the single-use plastics that are not recyclable, that are causing such harm across the globe in our water and wildlife.
And so single-use plastics, they're things that you use for maybe just a couple minutes of a day, and then you toss it in the garbage. You know, you can buy a pop bottle and reuse it a couple times, but it's still considered a single-use plastic.
But you still can put it in a recycling bin. The single-use plastics that are not recyclable, like straws, and like styrofoam containers. When we're talking about things that are not recyclable, not reusable, plastic stir sticks for coffee, there's so many single use. The plastic forks and knives and spoons you get at a fast food restaurant or at a baby shower, those things that you're going to use one time and they're going to sit in the landfill.
Mm-hmm. Or you don't even use them and they get thrown away.
Yeah, that is a discouraging part, yes.
Many times in restaurants.
It's kind of interesting. We've been reading about the whales that are full of plastic. When they do an autopsy, they've beached themselves and they open them up and find, you know, 80 pounds of plastic and 44 pounds of plastic. And you think about a plastic bag or a baggie and how little does that weigh and how much plastic do you have to have in a whale? How many plastic bags or plastic whatevers would be 44 pounds. I remember one whale that passed away from, and they discovered it was from plastic in its stomach. It weighed 64 pounds. And my grandson, who's 12, weighed 64 pounds. And I thought, how do you have that much plastic in a whale? So the single-use plastics, and you're right, Malaysia, China, these countries, India, who have been sorting our plastics and recycling, they've taken kind of a brunt. We've sent the wrong kinds of plastic. We've not sent the plastics that are easily recyclable. We've sent a lot of garbage, and we've sent things that we really knew shouldn't go. But sometimes people on purpose put the wrong things in the recycling bin. Sometimes it's by accident. Sometimes it's wish cycling. They're hoping somebody's going to be able to recycle it or hope somebody else can make a new idea, which is optimistic but not helpful. And so we've got to really work on the single-use plastics that are not recyclable. We have to remember plastic incubators have been a godsend to babies. Plastic tubing in hospitals and for surgeries. There's so many benefits to plastics. It's what we do with them after that is a problem. Incinerating plastics is never a good idea. We have to find a better choice, a better option, and maybe technology will really help us with that. But the single-use plastics, it's so exciting to see what companies are coming up with. I see restaurants changing almost by the day. Mm-hmm. No plastic straws, no plastic stir sticks, no styrofoam containers to send your food home with.
Yeah, I feel like every day on NPR or something, you hear of a new city or a new state coming out with like, oh, no more straws, no more plastic bags, no more styrofoam containers. So it's really good to see that kind of positive momentum. And even though it seems like it's just one item, but that just kind of inspires a whole new way of thinking for a lot of people to be like, oh, wait, this is bad. I didn't even realize it. So, yeah.
Especially those styrofoam containers. I've been reading up on them, and just the greasy food that's inside of them, causes a chemical reaction,
right.
And you're going to be eating something toxic out of there. Mm-hmm. Why not take your own containers to a restaurant? You probably know if you usually leave food. Or
yeah, bring your own. Bring your own container. Your own glass container. Yep, that's a great idea. And you know, a lot of restaurants. I'm not sure all, but I think almost all restaurants have aluminum foil.
And that would be so much better.
So you can just ask for a piece of aluminum foil. And, you know, that does two things. Anybody in the restaurant who sees you asking for aluminum foil, any other customers, they're like, oh, what are they doing? Oh, I could do that. That's a simple thing. Also, it gets the restaurant to know that, my goodness, aluminum foil is an easy answer. People do care about this issue. And so that help them make changes that they need to make.
And aluminum foil is better, right, because you can clean it off and then throw it in the recycling bin. And it's just a lot smaller of a piece of material to use, too.
And you know what, you guys? My grandmother, we washed our aluminum foil.
So did we.
Right. And, you know, you're not going to get baked on lasagna off of aluminum foil. But there is a lot of aluminum foil that's used to wrap a sandwich that could wrap a sandwich a couple of times. Or it's been used for a cookie sheet, you know, to cover a cookie sheet. And it's easy to just rinse it off and use it for a sandwich. What's wrong with putting your sandwich in something that had cookies on it? Maybe makes it a little better sandwich. I don't know. But there's a lot of ways of reusing. So I think reusing is a huge answer to help us get rid of some of these single-use plastics. You know, they have stainless steel, BPA-free straws now. They have glass straws. And while the glass straws, I think, cost about $12, if you break it, they'll give you a new one. It's borosilicate glass. It's a very strong glass. Today I'm using a pasta straw.
Yes, I see that in your tea.
And, you know, it's really funny when I give longer presentations like college classes that are going to go for 4 hours, I'll start out with a pasta straw, and then partway through, eventually the pasta's starting to get a little softer, and then right in front of the kids I take a bite out of it. I haven't said a word about what I'm using as a straw. And then I eat it, and you see the eyebrows go up, and it makes an impression. It really gets people thinking about what could they do. Even the paper straws are compostable. They aren't going to hurt an animal if it got into water. It'll break down.
Yeah.
And if an animal got a paper straw in its stomach, it is not going to stay there. Its body is going to be able to process it out. And that's the issue. People think, did the plastics kill the animal? Well, what happens is the plastic gets in their stomach. Their brain tells them they're full. So then they don't eat. And the longer they don't eat, the weaker they become. They can't fight the current. They get washed up on the beach. So there was a great movie made one time called Saving Inky. And it's a pygmy sperm whale. And they were trying to find out why this pygmy sperm whale beached himself. Pygmy sperm whales are kind of loners. They're not in a pod or anything. So they caught this whale beached himself on Thanksgiving one day on the eastern coast of our country and of America. And because people are home because it's Thanksgiving, they covered this whale in wet blankets. They called for help. They made donations to the helicopter that could move it to the marine facility in Maryland. And after several weeks, this whale was still not recovering and wasn't eating and very listless. And so pygmy sperm whales can get ulcers, I believe. So they went with an endoscope and looked into its stomach and found its stomach full of plastic bags and plastic debris, plastic fishing line. So there was no place for food to go. Their stomach was full. And even if you got food in, you couldn't get the food back out of the stomach to get the nutrients.
Yeah. And so how long ago was this Inky video?
I think it's 1990-something.
So we knew that this was happening back in the 90s, I'm sure even before. And we hear about this stuff in the news every single day. Like, it's still happening. It's getting worse, honestly, and we haven't done anything about it.
Some people have done some things, and there's been some really innovative inventions and new technologies and things. But the basic steps of not littering, that has to be first. Everybody has control over not littering. But then we have storms, hurricanes, and tornadoes that take debris out of your garbage can, your recycling bin, and who knows where all it takes down your grocery store.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other issue. So we've got to figure out a way to make products that are safe for the universe, safe for all of wildlife. And I think that's really cool that the plant-based products are being invented right now. And we need to be paying attention. And we need to go to a restaurant and say, you know what, there's paper straws. or there are pasta straws.
Or no straw at all.
Or no straws. And, you know, there are people who need a straw with whatever disability that they might have. They may need a straw. Maybe they've just had a wisdom tooth out, or who knows? I'm not sure. But there are reasons for some straws. But then you could bring your own reusable straw. And so you could help with that issue. But I know that the bendable straws are very important to some. I used to take care of kids with cerebral palsy, and the bendable plastic straws were really the best thing. But again, that doesn't mean they have to be littered, and that doesn't mean they have to hurt our wildlife. So we need to have some straws, and we need to have plastic straws for some folks. But yes, do we always need a straw? Probably not. There's
No, when I was growing up, and I know I'm the senior member here, but when I was growing up, there was no such thing as a plastic straw. It was all paper straws. Well, wherever you went, if you wanted a straw, it was paper. If it was a thicker straw, like for a malt or a shake, it was a paper thicker straw.
Exactly.
So you drank your drink before the straw started collapsing.
Exactly.
And it wasn't that big a deal. It wasn't anything of a deal.
Well, I'm the next senior member here. Yes. And when I was in grade school, we had glass milk bottles. Small, little glass milk bottles with a little aluminum foil lid. And there were no straws. And you drank your milk. And then when you're done drinking your milk, you took it into a plastic milk crate.
Yes.
For it to go back to be sanitized, right? Mm-hmm. And refilled. Today, I can't imagine, you know, 700 kids with glass bottles, but they could be taught to do it. And the milk was, I think, tasted better than it tastes in the paper cartons.
I used to work in a restaurant, and along those lines, it always killed me when people would order a beer, and then they'd have a glass of water, and then they'd ask for a straw. I never gave them a straw unless they asked for it.
Good for you.
They would always be like, can I have a straw for my water? I was like, do you want a straw for your beer, too? Like, I never actually said that because I'm sure I get fired, but that's what I'm thinking in my head. Like, you're not going to drink your beer with a straw or your wine, so you can't say you're afraid to touch your lips to the restaurant glass, you know? It's just like, you got to get people to think or something. I never found a good way that I felt like I wouldn't get in trouble at work to say that. So I always had to give them a straw, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, ooh.
Well, you know, there's some number out there that says Americans use 500 million straws a day.
Yeah.
And there's only 326 million Americans.
Yep.
So how many straws is that? And I know all these new little drinks for kids, they have a straw.
The Capri Suns.
Capri
and that kind of
Suns.
Thing, yeah.
And there's all kinds of little containers that have a straw attached. And the straw is plastic. And the wrapper for the straw is plastic. And the lining in some of these containers is plastic. And I'm just wondering about the health for our kids, because we know that plastics are endocrine disruptors. They change our bodies, and they alert our bodies that something's wrong. And I just wonder about that many plastic straws and eating and drinking out of that much plastic. So 500 million straws a day is an unbelievable number. What if we change them all just to paper?
Right.
Can you imagine just paper straws? How much we would protect wildlife with just that one change.
For sure. And the other thing about plastic, I think a lot of people don't know, like you're talking about being toxic and an endocrine disruptor, but plastics are a petroleum product. So first of all, they come from a non-renewable resource. So we have to mine and drill and all that sort of thing for it. And then it's also full of all kinds of additives and other things I don't even want to pretend to know about that we have no idea the effects on our bodies. And that
when you take
thing.
A brown or black liquid.
Right.
And change it to a clear, hard plastic, there's a lot of chemicals working to make that happen. And, you know, they even tell you not to leave your water bottles in the car because they'll get too hot and then the chemicals come out. So we've got to make changes. My grandmother, my little Polish grandma, she loved glass. She said you could cook in glass, you can store in glass, you can see what you're storing in glass. Glass had no smell. It's when Tupperware first came out, and my mom went to her first Tupperware party and came home all excited. She had a lettuce crisper, and her mom, my mom, said, ugh, who would ever use that? That smell, smell that. You don't want to put your lettuce in there. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Yeah. And now they've had to invent a cleaning product, because if you put spaghetti sauce or something with an acidy type food into some of the plastics, the color is absorbed. So they had to invent a soap to soak your Tupperware in order to get the tomato. I was like, oh, so my grandma's turning over in her grave, oh, yeah. You know. It just doesn't make any sense to do that. And glass, sure, it's a little bit heavier. And yes, glass can break, but everybody I work with knows that I only drink out of glass. I have no plastic bottles. I have no plastic cutlery. I have no plastic food holders.
It's true. It's she glass. Doesn't let anyone put anything but glass in the microwave here.
I know. I'm kind of
I'm
kind of strict about that. You can poison yourself on your own time, but not here. It's scarce. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
So I think what's exciting, though, is that people are paying attention. We need some big-brained people to figure out a fishing line that's not plastic. We need a fishing line that will hold whatever weight it's supposed to hold of whatever kind of a fish, right?
Uh-huh. What did they used to make fishing line out of?
Rope. And
can we go back
American
to that or
the American
well, rope
Indians
would be problematic still, right? Yeah.
Well, we need to make sure we don't leave it anywhere. But
right.
The American Indians used some ligaments from buffalo.
That's probably not going to happen.
No, it's probably not going to happen. But that idea, it was very strong. And it could still tangle up in wildlife. At least it wouldn't have the chemicals in it either. But
well, we need to teach people to be more careful with what they do with their fishing lines.
You know, you see people...
No matter what they're made
right,
of.
You see people in their fishing and they're casting out right where it looks... I mean, we were taught to cast where there weren't branches. Because if you cast where there's branches, you're going to lose your bobber and your weight and your fishing line. And we didn't even know about tangling and hurting creatures. We were canoeing on the Kankakee River, and there was an osprey up in the top of a tree, and it had this big, long bobber and obviously fishing line.
Osprey and are endangered or federally protected or something.
Yes,
yeah.
And they're magnificent birds. And here it's at the top of the tree, and you're thinking, well, the next, maybe it's already tangled there, I don't know. But the next time it goes anywhere, that bobber and that weight and that fishing line is going to kill that osprey. And if it's a parent looking for food for their young, it's going to, those young won't have their food. So fishing line, we need a big-brained person to figure out the right kinds of fishing line that won't hurt wildlife, and also fishing nets.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a lot more than just like the one-off fishermen. I think the majority of ocean plastics are like commercial fishermen's nets and lines and all that kind of thing.
Yes, and they're disaster related too. When we had the earthquake in Japan, that wasn't anybody's fault, but whole houses went into the ocean and whole businesses and whole stores.
And all the plastic.
And the scientists knew that the plastic would get to America's coast in about a year, and it did, because the plastic floats. They knew that refrigerators that went in, it was going to take about 3 years for the metal to separate from the plastic, and then the plastic would float to the top, and then the currents would bring it, you know, to Oregon and Alaska, and it did. I'm sure there's lots more to come because it's going to take different amounts of time. But so it wasn't anybody's fault, but humans have invented this plastic and we didn't figure out a solution. So we need to, when we invent something, we need to think about the whole thing cradle to cradle. We need to think about what is that product and what is the end of this product. So cradle to grave is how a lot of things are invented now. Create it, it's going to go to a landfill. A little bit better, cradle to recycling, if that's what it would be called. But the best would be cradle to cradle to reuse it. So there's this whole new circular economy and zero waste. And we need some big brain people to help us come up with new products. Now you see it on Facebook. I mean, they're using avocado peels to make, you know, forks, knives, and spoons that will be compostable. And I think some of the new things that we think are new are milk plastics.
And what is that?
Milk. There's a protein in milk.
Yeah.
And that protein is used to make plastic for over 100 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so...
Where would we find that?
Online so far. But you know how we wrap food in plastic shrink wrap kind of thing?
Yeah.
Well, they can do that with this protein from milk.
Wow.
They're looking at bamboo. So the bamboo for straws, which is compostable afterwards, right? But the bamboo leaves and things like that, looking at all parts. The roots of mushrooms, they are making packaging now.
I've seen that,
made out of the roots of mushrooms.
Yeah,
so if you're harvesting food, what could the cob become? What could the husk become? sure, composting is the best use, put it back.
Yeah.
You know, let it cook and cure and put it back. But what if we used it once for something else and then put it back? Mm-hmm. We can, you know, go and put it back. So these new technologies are, one, exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But we need some more big-brained people to be working on some of these solutions. So banana leaves, how simple. In India, I know a friend gave me a photo album made out of banana leaves, and they were dried. And it looks very very fragile, but it's not really fragile. It really holds together. This photo album is very, very nice. And the colors, when they dried the banana leaves, it's really beautiful. No stains or any of those kinds of things. In India, they use banana leaves for weddings. I'm not sure it's all weddings, but banana leaves are big.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very ceremonial.
I think they use them for platters.
They do use them for platters, exactly. So now what they were showing on Facebook is people wrapping their sandwiches and wrapping products together. They're using some different leaves to tie them together so your asparagus would be tied together. So why not be looking at what we have in nature as an alternative?
But that's not to say we should import banana leaves so we could do it here in Illinois, right?
That's
like finding what we have here.
Corn husks,
so we're not trucking it all over the world
we don't
to
wanna,
make this trendy new packaging.
Yeah.
We don't. But every,
use what we have close by, yeah.
We should. Local packaging made out of local plant residue, maybe we would call it. I'm not sure if it's residue.
Byproduct, yeah.
Maybe that's a better word. But we need to think about what's local and what could be used. And I know there's already wheat straws. They call them hay straws. I think they're about $8 for one straw, but you're going to use it for a while, and then you're going to compost it. Why not? And, you know, let's say you're getting married or something like that. Wouldn't it be fun to have a wedding that didn't hurt the future? How about good karma from your wedding, right?
Yeah.
Such a good idea.
You know, or a baby shower. You don't want to start a baby shower with, you know, something that's toxic or something that good, not good for the family and friends who are there. So we should really think about every action that we take and then have it something that's healthy for that baby or for that wedding, or right? Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. For the environment.
And for the environment. Yeah, start out right.
Yeah.
Start out right. But so I wonder what other plants we could use. We already know that they're making corn forks, knives, and spoons. We already know that they're making potatoes. That's so cute. It's called taterware for silverware. So we have so many crops. What could we be using? I know we were at the Chicago Botanic Gardens, and they had some bowls, and the bowls were made out of thin, thin, thin slices of grapefruit.
What?
Yes.
Like the grapefruit
Like
peel?
A slice of grapefruit.
The bowl?
And they had dried, right? It is a cellulose fiber that's there.
Okay.
So it's see-through, okay? And they made bowls.
I'm
now
sure
they were not
artsy
they
looking,
arts, art bowls. They were art
and...
bowls, very pretty, not really for using for bowls.
Oh, did you take a bite?
No, I did not take a bite. But they were colorful. They were delicate. They were stunning. But if we can do that with a slice
of
grapefruit,
did they paint them or something?
No, because as it dried, the pinky grapefruit was right there.
I can picture it. That sounds like it'd be really pretty.
Lemon slices. I mean, they're paper. When you say paper thin, they are. Paper thin.
That thin.
That thin.
And then they shape them somehow into bowls.
Into bowls. And they're very artistic, but they're enchanting kind of with the colors of food. So if we can make a bowl out of a grapefruit slice, what could we do with a grapefruit rind? Avocados, they're using that peel. I mean, there's a lot of plant leftovers, byproducts of our plants that we aren't using for food, but we still have to grow them. We still need nutrients out of our soil. We still needed sun. We still needed rain. So what if we used all parts? Go back to our American Indians, right? They would use all parts, and we've gotten a long ways from realizing that all parts should be used.
In that Anthony Bourdain documentary on composting, love him, R.I.P., they talk about how much waste is just in, like, maybe one broccoli plant or something. And they're doing all these new, I know of one concept restaurant where they're trying to figure out ways to use the broccoli leaves and not just, like, the pretty little floret or whatever is on top. So they're trying to figure it out, but I think it's kind of like a niche movement for sure. And then I also saw on Shark Tank, I don't know if you guys watch Shark Tank.
I have.
Someone's trying to it was a while ago, get a new type of dining ware made out of sugar so you can take a bite out of the bowl at the end. So I'm sure it's like a trendy party thing, whatever, but it's a cool idea, just like get the ball rolling with this kind of thing so you could have your ice cream and then eat the bowl and then you have no waste at all.
Well, you know, there's soup. bread bowls that you eat, right?
Panera's, the bread runner.
There you go. Somebody's already doing it, right? There's a company called Husky, I think it's called, and they're using the husks of coffee beans.
Oh.
And it's called Husky Cups, I think. So they're using the coffee bean husks. Wow. To make cups for your coffee. So Husky Cups.
Oh, wait.
Made out of the coffee bean sheath.
That you put in a Keurig?
No, not the Keurig.
Cups you drink out of?
Yeah.
Like a to-go
like,
cup kind of
like
thing.
A to-go
like an espresso cup?
Cup?
Yeah. Like a real small one?
No.
Nope.
Coffee cups, like the kind you would go and buy a,
like a latte. Thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Made out of coffee beans, which I think is really kind of cool to have your coffee.
Starbucks
out of
missing out if they're not following up on that.
I'm sure that doesn't meet their bottom line. Or whatever.
And then I know there's another company that I was researching, and they use one of their ingredients of shells. So, the shells. So crab shells.
Oh.
The crab shells, they're using that to make a natural plastic. And there's so many opportunities. We just need people to know that we need alternatives. So we know we have a problem with the plastic straws and the plastic cutlery and so many other things. So let's research. Let's keep researching and inventing and trying, experimenting with what we have left over, the byproducts of whatever mm-hmm. we're growing, harvesting from the oceans, whatever, and see which ones come up with the best plastics. We have to keep working for the good. We have to keep working forward for the solution. It's one thing to say, you know, we can't use this anymore.
Yeah.
But we have to have something. I mean, my house, in our glove box, we have bamboo forks, knives, and spoons. We have cloth napkins in the glove box.
Nice.
We do. We have our metal straws in the glove box.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't need to worry. If we have to go to a fast food place or if we're going someplace that we're bringing food with, we bring that with. We don't have any plastic. My niece, my great niece and great nephew, they live in Maryland, and I got them toddler size fork, knife, and spoon, bamboo. And it comes in the cutest little compostable little baggie.
Perfect.
The idea is we can start young with helping people make better choices, and it won't be odd. It won't be a big deal because they're growing up with it. They're growing up with a solution. And I got them bamboo straws as well. So it comes with the cutest little straw brush to go in the straw. Like, oh, it's perfect for these little toddlers, you know. But we should just take the good stuff and help promote it. So housewarming gifts and what about a baby shower gift? How about bringing cutlery made out of bamboo or something like that? So it's with them.
Baby cutlery, the smaller size.
That's
a great idea.
Let's think of things that are good and help promote it that way. If we put our money behind the gifts that we buy, we kind of vote with our money, right?
Yeah.
So if we vote with our money for something that's good for the person, the child, the wildlife, as well as the environment, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of you saying it's not weird now for them to have their own cutlery, I think it's totally becoming a trendy thing. You know, you see it all over social media, zero waste this and compostable that and that kind of thing. So, you know, while we have these big picture, big thinker guys trying to invent something new for us, there are a lot of things that we can do, like today, and just make little changes in our life step by step. You don't have to just declare plastic away from whatever, like, send it off. You could just do, like, make one change today, right?
One change today.
Like a daily doable.
A daily doable, exactly.
Daily doable.
That's the whole...
Are we at that point here?
I don't know. I think we should go around and talk about, like, maybe you can start. What is one way that you like to replace plastic with some reusable alternative in your life?
Well, with Kay as my inspiration, I have stopped using plastic or buying plastic food leftover containers, and I collect all the jars.
Nice.
Now
I collect jars now too.
Jam,
thanks, Kay.
Jars, pickle jars, whatever.
Yep.
I buy only things in glass, and it's not hard at all. And then you wash the glass, and you store it, and then when you make something or you have leftovers, you use the glass instead of a plastic thing.
Yeah.
And try not to buy things in plastic. Try buy the things in glass. But if you do have to buy something in plastic, then reuse it. So yeah. I will reuse those plastic things I've already bought something in, mm-hmm. as long as I'm not going to heat it or set it out in the sun, things like that.
Yeah. And no one's perfect, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely plastic in my life, and I've probably used a straw recently. But, you know, as long as you're conscious of it and you're trying to make those changes, like, any little change helps.
I think that the use of straws has gone way down. I see people...
whole schools. I'm so excited about this. Kids in schools. The kids are saying no more plastic straws, and they're getting one little school, York Center in Lombard. They're a part of the Villa Park School District, and the kids said no more plastic straws, and now their whole district has no plastic straws.
When I was researching a little bit about marine debris, 80% of the marine debris, approximately, is plastics.
Yes,
and That's a lot. But the rest is largely, well, not only, but there's a large amount of cigarette butts in marine debris.
Yes.
And so, if according to what you say, that's plastic, too.
It is.
Yeah.
And so it's more than plastic, too, with cigarettes. There's how many chemicals in a single
456
cigarette?
456 chemicals or something?
Yeah, so it's a carrier, basically, for all these other nasty things that aren't even plastic, but... people are putting them directly in their lungs, first of all, and then not only is the plastic from the butts getting in, but all those chemicals that are there, too, are getting in our waterways and all kinds
of things. And as we've visited water sanitary treatment centers, we know cigarette butts often get through the system because they're floating, and the plastic is lightweight, and so the paper comes off, and the plastic fibers are right on, and they go right through the system with the chemicals bonded to the plastic fibers into our rivers and streams.
Mm-hmm. And just this morning, I saw someone throw a cigarette butt out the window of their car sitting in traffic this morning. Ugh,
I haven't
painful.
Seen that for quite a while.
Really? Oh, I see a lot of people throw stuff out their windows on my on my ride to work. It's bad.
The City of Wheaton's Environmental Commission, we clean Butterfield Road and Naperville Road, that intersection.
Okay.
And when you sign up for Adopt a Highway, you sign up to clean 4 times a year. So I was driving to our location where we were parking that day and cleaning up on Butterfield Road, and the car right in front of me.
Oh, jeez.
Right in front of me threw a bag of fast food Wendy's out.
The whole thing?
The whole bag.
Wow, it's a bold move.
And I was just like, ugh. You know?
Oh, did you do anything?
I called 911. I called 911. And I gave him the license number. Because I was at a stoplight.
Yeah.
You know, I got the license number. I could read the kind of car, because I don't know cars at all, but I could read the kind of a car it was, tell them the color, told them what they littered. Yes, told them that I'd be happy to go to court if they bring him to court for littering. You know, but it's like I've talked to policemen, and they've never given anybody a ticket for littering. And there's tickets for littering. There's fines for littering. And maybe we need to take that part a little more seriously.
So I have kind of a crazy littering story, too. I'm sure you have a better one than that. No. So I was driving to work, and this guy opens his window and throws out, on the highway, throws out, like, a plastic film that was wrapping, like, a DVD or a book or something.
Really?
And I just, like, was bad mood, traffic. I don't know what was happening in my life, but I just laid on my horn at this guy. And he was like, what's going on? And then I just thought he would, like, keep driving, but then he slowed down, got in the lane next to me, and was, like, got next to me.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, my God, am I going to get shot right now?
Oh,
what is happening?
Oh,
and then instead he just made some very vulgar gestures at me, and then I sped away.
Vulgar?
It was gross. And I was like, oh my God, I wish I didn't do that, but I'm glad I did at the same time. But he had still had no clue at the end of all of that the problem was him throwing his garbage out the window.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh. Yeah, it's a little discouraging. We had the Memorial Day Parade in Wheaton, and our Memorial Day Parade ends at Wheaton Cemetery. And they have a wonderful ceremony with the American Legion and the VFW and the Women's Auxiliary. And it's a very somber and very special ceremony at the cemetery. And our parades have changed a lot. You know, they used to throw candy out at kids, and we don't need the sugar, and throwing stuff out at kids is probably not a good idea. So there were a few groups that passed out flags, and they were not passing out a flag to everybody. They kind of held up a flag, and if you wanted one, they gave you one. So after the ceremony, my husband and I are walking back to our car, and somebody, thoughtless, they had taken an American flag, this tiny ones, and stuffed it into a plastic water bottle and threw it on the ground. And I know that they didn't accidentally drop it because right next to it was the plastic cap. So if they'd put the cap back on, but why you would stuff an American flag in a plastic water bottle and why you wouldn't take the plastic water bottle home to recycle. So Caitlin knows this part because she put it on our Facebook. And what did he say?
What's wrong with this? And there's just like so many layers of what's going on right there that are problematic.
Yeah. Well, what's the respect for the American flag and for our country and the plastic and littering?
The veterans.
The veterans who lost their lives here. We're at a ceremony for the people who've saved our country and... Right? Yeah. Oh, I was so discouraged. I was like, but you know what that did? It gave me a bunch more energy, which is always dangerous.
It was like the Monday or it was Tuesday right after Memorial Day. Yes. And Kay's like, look at this.
And so we're going to use it. We have a graduate class coming up in 2 weeks, and we're going to be using that to say, what's wrong with this picture? What's wrong with this action? Because we've got to get people paying attention. So yes, it's plastic. Yes, it's our American flag, and yes, it's littering. Just wrong, wrong, wrong. But I'm going to continue to be hopeful for these people who are innovating new ideas and helping us to make better choices. So if we vote with our money, we buy products that are better for the environment and shop at grocery stores that are trying with bulk purchasing to bring your own container, those kinds of things, I think we can really move businesses to care about not just the planet in the future, the planet right now, the kids today and the kids in the future,
absolutely.
Right? I have one other thing that really concerns me about plastic items. I have a hummingbird feeder, and it took me a while to get a glass hummingbird feeder.
Oh.
You know, your glass is outside. The hummingbird feeders are outside, and it's a sugar water, but there's sunlight on it. So if you're not supposed to heat a plastic water bottle, let a plastic water bottle get hot in your car. What is it if you leave your hummingbird feeder out for 2 days? Because I change the water every other day. But if that was plastic, that means those endocrine disruptors and who knows what else is going into hummingbirds' food.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know not to add red food coloring. We know that now and those kinds of things. But we have to think about those things. We have to think about how we're hurting nature and just products that you might want to have attract hummingbirds to your yard. But is that the way to do it? There are glass bird baths, which people think, oh, well, they would break. Well, birds don't weigh very much. So, you know, get a glass bird bath or a concrete one, something that is sealed so that not a plastic one. We can do so much better if we avoid it in the first place because we don't know. But can you imagine the millions of hummingbirds drinking out of plastic that's been warmed by the sun?
Yeah, and I mean, that's just one source of plastic to these animals. You talk about, you know, plastics are found in salmon and how it kind of bioaccumulates in the tissues, and then it could be a food source for humans, and now we're directly ingesting these chemicals.
Exactly.
And that's kind of how all these problems come up.
Oh, yes, I'm sure it's a big, big issue. So, again, if you vote with your money, if you think, how can I avoid plastics?
Yeah.
And the hummingbird feeder is not a single use, but certainly it's a heated plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking ahead before we purchase. So what a great housewarming present for a bird lover is to get them a glass hummingbird feeder. We can start thinking, what's the best choice? What's the safest choice for a person, safest choice for wildlife? And then we should share Facebook things that are encouraging, like the avocado, you know, forks, knives, and spoons. Let's encourage people to see new solutions and new alternatives. There's one company, it's called Peel to Peel. So whatever the peels are that they're using become a wrapper for a sandwich. So you peel off the wrapper to eat your sandwich, or peel off it off your candy. They've got some peels that are so thin, but it's edible.
Wait, so these are vegetable or fruit peels?
Yes,
and they make a...
Into a peel.
Peelable sandwich wrapper?
Yes, they do. Peel to peel.
So can you eat the wrapper?
Yes.
Oh, okay. What does it taste like?
No, but I want to do it. You know, I remember there's a candy, an oriental candy, that you take off the outside wrapper and then the inside wrapper you eat with the candy.
Like rice, with rice paper? Like dried up rice paper, maybe?
It's clear.
Might
it's like a
paper.
Cellulose paper. Anyway, you know, who knows, you know? I just remember the expression on the college kids' faces when I eat my pasta straw.
You could probably take a bite of
it's
right now.
It's probably.
Get some of those candies, too.
Some of the candies. And so if we,
let them see you eat the wrapper.
Yeah.
Also.
But if we demonstrate to people as an ordinary practice of ours of what we're doing, I think voting with our money for good products, right, buying presents that are good for people to avoid plastics, right? And then if we demonstrate, just be a role model of better products, I think we can go a long ways to get rid of the single-use plastics for sure.
Yeah.
And I just love one thing. I learned that in Wales, as a town goes single-use plastic free, they have a banner that now Wales, their towns are not very big. The Wales isn't very big, but the banner goes across Main Street. Single-use plastic-free.
Nice.
Now, wait. This is in Wales?
The country of Wales.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wales. Oh, I thought you were saying Wales.
No. Like, the towns, the tiny towns in the small country of Wales.
Okay.
As a town goes single-use plastic-free. So all the grocery stores, all the restaurants, right?
Cute.
Everybody is
right.
Single-use plastic-free.
Great.
There's a banner like, yay, we did it.
And that probably creates some kind of competition, too. So if you're not doing it, like,
Your next town better get going, right?
Yeah.
Right? When if we could do that in DuPage County?
Well, we'd have to get a banner that wasn't plastic.
No vinyl either.
Right? I know. And vinyl is a plastic. So I was trying to think of what kind of banner could
sheet.
It be? Sure, cotton sheet, canvas, something like that. But...
Yeah.
I mean, right?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Maybe Scarce needs to have that as something that towns can do as they go
single-use. Our new project.
Yeah, another new project.
There
what
we
if?
Go.
What if as a restaurant goes single-use plastic-free, we gave them a letter that they could post or a sticker, some sort of a, you know how
like
we have.
The earth flag.
Like the We Compost
with the
stuff.
Compost sticker
yeah.
that goes on that we compost our food scraps. How about of a... single-use plastic-free restaurant.
So would you say customers have to bring their own containers or would you just provide compostable containers? What would be the standard?
So the restaurants that I'm seeing are going to compostable containers.
Okay.
You know, so, but yeah, people should bring their own. You know, that costs restaurants money to go to those compostable containers.
It sure does. And those are expensive.
Yeah, and so what if they were compostable containers but encourage people to bring their own container?
Or you, what if you got like a percent off your bill if you brought your leftover
can you imagine?
Containers with you or
there
something?
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many opportunities. I like to promote the businesses that are doing good, taking good steps, taking action to lead the way and protect people and the planet. So I think that's where we need to move to. We need to do that. So daily doables?
Yes. Yeah, so
we
I was going to ask you.
Today.
Oh my gosh.
just give us one thing that everybody listening can do.
I think we should write a letter, a thank you letter, a card to restaurants, grocery stores, those kinds of places, and say, thank you for being single use plastic free.
If we can find one.
Yeah, they're out there. There's more and more. I think it's pretty exciting. How about if we write a thank you to a city council that really steps it up and says, we want to do this. How about if we thank a school district that goes straw-free? I know we Facebook when schools get rid of straws here at Scarce. We Facebook that. And that's a great thing to do because kids, I think, should get recognition for the good things they're doing. But I think sometimes we forget to say thank you.
And, you know, with school districts, if you send it to someone on the board or the superintendent, they'll read it at a meeting.
We'll see.
Usually.
So a thank you note will spread the word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that would be my daily doable. Send somebody
daily
a thank
doable.
You
note. Daily
doable. That's a good one.
Thank you
we can. There are plenty of others, too, in terms of easy zero-waste tips. Yeah. So, you know, the straw thing is a really good thing to avoid. Bring your own straw. Say no to the straw. We said bring your own containers.
Mm-hmm.
Just say no to plastic in the first place. If you do have to say yes to plastic, choose recyclable. But at all costs, if you can, avoid those number six, which are both rigid and foam formats of styrofoam. That's what I'd say. Avoid number 6 plastics.
All right.
Do you have any exciting ones?
I think I started with, what did I say?
I think we should always remember our pickup 5.
Pickup litter, yeah.
Pickup litter, because a lot of it is plastic. And so if we picked up our 5, we can help protect wildlife too. And you know, every once in a while when I'm walking, people see me picking up. And there, I had a guy, this just the other day, I picked up a red straw in the park in front of my house. And the guy said, thank you. I said, you're welcome. And I know, I absolutely know, by the way he said thank you and by the way he observed me picking up the straw. When he finished his walk, I'm sure he was looking for stuff he could pick up. So we can just be role models.
Make it a norm, yeah.
Make it a norm. Make it the norm.
Yeah,
there
same
you
with
go.
Containers at
yep.
restaurants.
Yep,
yeah.
yep.
All right.
Well, thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
Profound.
We hope you enjoyed today, right?
Yeah, yes, I guess we do. That wraps it up for episode 5 of Earth Chats, all about plastics. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to this episode of Earth Chats. Do you have any questions, comments, ideas? You can always email us at earthchats@scarce.org. And as always, if you like what you hear, don't forget to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or however you are tuning in. You guys can find us on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at EarthChatsPod. And you can use the hashtag EarthChats to send us photos of you getting out there and doing daily doables. And maybe we'll even share them on our page. Thanks for joining us. This podcast would not be possible without the creativity and driving force of Louise Kelly, our creative director, Bella Kelly, our sound engineer, Carrie Horak, our tech wizard, and Carol Richard, our interview director, as well as the generous backing of Scarce, an award-winning environmental nonprofit who's on a mission to inspire environmental action through education, protecting people and the planet one day at a time.